Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. Three astrologers who get together and have a look at what's going on in the skies and how that's reflected on the earth and in the lives that we're living day to day. This is Mark Waltz saying hello from New York City, and I'm joined by
Ann Ortley over here at the Bright Red Desk, also in New York City.
Okay.
And I think Heather just showed up. Heather?
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Ronan, Montana. Yay!
Good.
We're all here.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. What a week.
Yeah. Wow.
Hammer of Thor, baby. Got another one this week. Mm-hmm. Hammer of Thor, pounding it in. Yeah,
yeah.
It's making us
really...
Want to
talk
about
that, Ann?
Yeah, sure. Well, Mercury, so what we have is the COVID clump, you know, the Capricorn guys. And we have Mars and Aries, went through them. And so Mars is forming a square to the Capricorn clump. And so Hammers of Thor are where two planets are in a square. In this case, four planets are in a square. And then there's another handle. There's another planet that's what's called sesquiquadrate, which is a combination of a square and a semi-square. So their sesquiquadrates are kind of stressful energies. And so this... The sesquiquadrate energy, both the Mars and the COVID clump, Capricorn, particularly the Saturn, form sesquiquadrate to the same planet, to Mercury, last week. So news came through, Mercury. And Thor's hammer, it's also called a fist of God instead of a finger of God, because it's got a pretty strong business end, that square. In mythology, he could send his hammer off and it would knock the top off of mountains and take out his enemies, but it also acted independently. You know, it didn't have to wait for permission. But then it would come back to court and play beautiful music and make gold jewelry, and it was a pretty talented little hammer. But when you're at the business end of it, getting the square, you're kind of like, wow, that hurt. When you're swinging the hammer, because some people swung the hammer last week, there's kind of this energy of, wow, that was kind of a shock. And we then go into the part of, you know, like what happened. And the nicer analogy is if you've ever played croquet, somebody comes and hits your ball, and then they stand there with their foot on their ball, and they whack your ball the heck out of the game. That's another way to think of it, too. That's
like,
a little nicer
like
analogy than nicer analogy
like
than the fiery hammer. But so last week, Mercury went through it and formed a hammer of Thor, and this week the sun goes through it. So the sun is going to hit it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so we can expect another hammer to come flying through. Except last week was the news. This week is the illumination. You know, we're seeing it in a different way. And it's very literal. Last week, you know, when I first talked about the hammer of Thor, the first time I heard about it was Mercury from another person who I studied astrology with named David Tavelin. So I said, yeah, first time I heard of it was from him. And he also called it a fist of Thor, you know, and fisting and whatever, right? So he heard me say this last week. So he wrote me and he said, no. He said, I didn't invent it. Our teacher did, John, right? And I'm like, oh, the sun in Virgo, right? He goes, now you need to correct it next week because I just told you about it, but I didn't invent it. You know, that's where, you know, like that name for the fist of Thor as opposed to the hammer of Thor, but it's a potent little puppy. And I'm like, okay, Mercury, my fellow student, and then now my son, my teacher, who I never learned it from him, but David did. So it's understanding this is a very potent energy. So last week, hammer of Thor came through. We got this shocking news about Chadwick Boseman dying and that he'd worked for 4 years under, you know, chemotherapy and surgeries and whatever, making amazing movies. And then, of course, one of the clips that got played was somebody was interviewing him and saying, so, you know, Black Panther 2. And he goes, I'm dead. And the guy and the lady said, no, Black Panther 2. You're going to play Black Panther. He goes, no, he says, I am dead. And he kind of smiled at her. And she's like, no, it's too soon for you to be dead. Dad, don't be silly. You're going to. He goes, no, I am dead. I am dead for Black Panther 2.
Wow.
Right, he actually told us, and, you know, the clip was, we don't really listen when people tell us things, right?
Right.
And so, you know, and then, of course, Spike Lee, who's totally a Virgo curmudgeon, pops out, you know, because he had him on the last movie, you know, filming in Thailand under sweat and da da da, you know, doing the Five Bloods movie where he was kind of the spiritual leader of the group of men. And he said, you know, absolutely no idea this was going on. Couldn't tell it. He showed up. He was there. And then, of course, all his work with kids, you know, cancer kids, while he was, you know, working with it. So that's the Mercury Hammer of Thor where everybody was kind of shocked and blown away. I mean, and of course, I mean, I had a, you know, I had a friend of mine, her 18-year-old daughter ran off and got married. I had another one that had, you know, found out, you know, a big family secret that she didn't know about. A lot of relationships got a little hammered, you know. So there's, it's a very potent energy. So last week you learned something.
Very potent energy. Yeah.
And this week we figure out what we're going to do with it. That's the sun part.
And, you know, and I've noticed something else interesting about that. I'm looking at Chad's chart, and it looks like his moon, we don't have a time on his ascendant, but his moon is mid-Pisces. Sagittarius with his moon in Pisces. And so Neptune is very close to his moon, and it feels like he stepped into mythos. Jupiter was conjunct his Venus in Capricorn as he steps off, and you often see a Jupiter aspect when someone leaves after a long-term illness.
They're set free from their body.
They're set free from their body. It is, they are free. It's everybody else around them that has the Pluto transits.
Right.
And we have Venus is with, you know, did an exact opposition to Pluto as his death was announced.
Right.
And that often when we have that Venus-Pluto opposition, it was, you know, Venus and Pluto were talking when Princess Diane died. Venus and Pluto talking, you know, when Maria, Mother Teresa died. Venus, when Venus and Pluto talk, there is often the loss of someone mythic that gives all of us a chance to grieve. And there's so much big stuff. Like, we're grieving America. We're grieving truth. We're grieving so much, but it's abstracted and loaded with that Mars square. You know, this is the first of three squares that's going to hit over in October and again in December, that Mars square, that the COVID clump. So
the time when Princess Diana and Mother Teresa died.
Right.
They both died, next to each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right in early September.
Yeah.
Right by this time of year, end of August, early September.
Yeah.
Because yesterday was my daughter's birthday. Friday's mine, and I remember it well.
Yeah.
It was right on all of it. That Venus-Pluto opposition really gives kind of a collective mourning grief. We can mourn the loss of a mythic figure and put get a chance for a lot of our sadness to go into that, to remember what's worthy, what's lovely, what's beautiful, what's powerful. And we're going to really feel that this week as Mercury, along with all of that, begins to trine the Pluto, that clump, as moves into an exact trine with Pluto tomorrow, I believe, and then into Saturn by the end of the week, and you will feel that, like, what do we want to do about this before it heads into Libra and brings in a whole different quality.
Well, we also have the full moon is going to be part of the Hammer of Thor. There's a full moon this week in Virgo Pisces, and one of the things I was struck by when I was looking at Twitter was all these little kids crying. And, you know, they had figures of, you know, they had the action figures and they had Black Panther in the middle, like he died. And this one little boy just looked completely inconsolable. And then there was a picture of dad and the kid crying. And, I think that resonance of, you know, this pandemic's been really hard on the kids, too, right? And so for them to lose an iconic figure, like, action figures were really big. I mean, I loved Marvel Comics as a kid growing up, and Wonder Woman, and, I don't know if that's Marvel, but, like the comics that had strong women in them. And I think, it really speaks to each of us having to be our own hero now and what a hero looks like. You know, what does that, what's that energy? And what he represented, certainly in the movies that he was in, because he, and he, they're really interesting, you know, because then, of course, when he shows up, I'm like, all right, let me go research him. And, I mean, I certainly was aware of him as an actor, but I ran into his Howard University speech, and clearly he, you know, he had cancer. He did a little prayer before he did. He gave this brilliant lecture, and he said very often the losses that you experience put you on your right path. They help you look at your path in a different, and he told a really good story in the course of that journey, and you know, his journey of how loss had kind of derailed him, but then it helped him find his purpose. So I think as an iconic figure, in the same way we mourned Princess Diana and Mother Teresa for their work, there's you know, it's understanding when something like this comes in, and you think about, like, for 4 years, man, you know, this was his secret, but then he actually told us, I'm dead. You know, Black Panther 2 goes, no, I'm dead. You know, like with a big smile, I'm dead. I, you know, it reminded me a little bit of when Nora Ephron died, you know, and nobody knew and everybody was mad at her because she hadn't told them. But she didn't want anybody telling her story, you know, or controlling her story. She wanted to control it herself. And a lot of times actors, I mean, I have a few actor clients, and they don't say when they have an illness. Kelly Preston didn't tell anybody she was sick because you don't get cast. You don't get seen in the same way. So, yeah. So, very sad.
And I think of, there was a wonderful piece with Chadwick, where they were replaying when he was on Jimmy Fallon, and people were seen speaking to the movie poster, thinking that they were recording something
yes.
that he would then forget. But he was standing behind the screen, and he came out and hugged them and talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
And several women came out with their sons and said, my son grew up with Barack Obama as president and you as a superhero. And
yeah.
that's their reality. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
those people are still here. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
they may strut around and we can see the effort to reestablish white supremacy, but there's a whole generation of people that grew up with the Black Panther and Barack Obama as president to belie
mm-hmm.
their the president attitude. And that's
right.
not going away.
Right.
We've seen better.
We've seen better. We know better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is better. Yeah. Mark, you've been very quiet, and I know Heather and I get on the phone, and we get going. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to underscore this is a week to really look for what's important.
Yeah.
You know, let that hammer of thought
well said. Yeah.
Crack off the weak stuff and
mm-hmm.
stay focused on where the mm-hmm. where we're really rooted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So there's some rotten branches on the tree, and that's just part of life. But let's let them break off and feel the energy of the trunk.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the energy of new growth when the old gets pruned
yeah.
off. I remember when I worked in a garden back when I had Saturn on my moon. I tended a garden. I would go and tend. And one of the jobs we did was we took off the suckers, you know, which, you know, the plants growing and
mm-hmm.
The rose garden guy, rosarian, I guess they're called, he was like, okay, and we take all the, and I'm like, well, why are we taking those off? He goes, so the rose goes strong. They're called suckers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ooh, okay. So we would go up and, you know, get a cup of coffee and go up on a morning and, you know, trim the suckers off the roses because it would help the rose grow strong. So
right.
if something gets smited in your life this week or got smited last week, that was the information. Now is part two. And how we work with it, right? So, because
yeah.
now we're seeing it on, you know, so watch what happened last week. And, you know, in my case, my foot got reinfected, right? So I went back and they were like, no, you got an infection. We can't do anything. You got to clean this up. I'm like, really? You know?
Yep.
And so now this week I find out, like, what the, I didn't call today, but I find out what the infection is and then, you know, treat it. So it's an interesting time for all of us. And watch what news,
how's
and sometimes you witness.
Yes.
Oh, pardon?
Mm-hmm. How's your foot feeling?
It hurts like hell. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bad.
Well, it's, you know, this is a little gross, and I apologize to the squeamy in the office, in the listening. It had, he went in, there's a thing called debriding, you know, like when you burn, they scrape your skin off, and then it grips.
It
they did
off.
That to my foot. So he dug like a hole in my foot. I'm like, oh, my God. first he did numbing cream, and I was clearing the table. And I'm pretty good with pain, right? And then he did Novocaine, and I got through the Novocaine okay. But then when it wore off, you know, you got somebody dug your hole out, you know, so.
Yeah,
you know, and it was funny because it was open for 4 years. And then I went to them, and they had, you know, and they fixed it, like boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, honestly, I'd looked and looked and looked for 4 years to get it fixed, and finally, and they just did it. So this time, this puppy opened up in the end of June when it got hot and my legs swelled. It just kind of, the seam of where I had surgery opened up, and I'm like, okay, I'll go and get it fixed. And then I got COVID, so then I spent a month in bed. So in 2 months,
and
it got
COVID
an infection.
And COVID does not allow you to really heal anything else that's going on.
Yes. And it also, like, for 4 years, I had no infection. And this, in less than 2 months, I had an, you know, like, dig it out infection. So I'm like, I, you know, I'm ready. You know, and I'm in a sixth house perfection year. So I'm really ready for this year to be over. My birthday is the 11th, and I'm going to be in a seventh house year then. I'm done with the sixth house stuff, which is the, you know, all my staff turned over a couple times. I mean, for very good reasons. You know, one moved back to St. Louis. One got married and had a baby. One's, you know, home in her house because of COVID. And then I worked my little butt off, which is good. We like that. And then this last piece has been the health. So I'm like, ay, yay. So and then next year, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be a 7,000 perfection year. No more health crap. So I'm
ready.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
And
for those of you who don't know, perfections is a technique that you look at where what the focus of the year is. Yeah. Go. Mm-hmm.
So, people are going to be living through this week where everything is sort of shifting. There's still a lot of love and warmth coming in, but Venus and Mars are moving into a square by the end of the week. So it's a really important week to practice your relationship skills, even if you're feeling irritable or even if the person in front of you is being a pill, to just go ahead and do it and realize that we're all resonating from a lot of emotional issues. And don't expect people to be perfect. Lots of old stuff coming up. But keep it steady and loving. A lot of misunderstandings will be cleared up this week as Mercury pulls out away from its opposition to Neptune.
Yes,
but that
yes,
hammer
really
Thor is
things.
Asking
yeah.
you to kind of really keep it up. Keep up that work on it. And that there's a real shift in energy next weekend as Mercury goes into Libra and Venus enters Leo. And our inner extrovert will want, you know, will start chafing against the quarantine, but it will be a lot. There's like a deep breath and a desire to sort of step away, because the conflict is the name, and infection and inflammation is the name of the game this fall. So how can we, when we get moments of rest from that, moments to take a deep breath and see the beauty of the world around us and love the people around us, then we can stay in there through these repeated Mars squares, through the work that we have to do.
And it really is knowing that that's part of our journey right now, is that there's this very strong energy of, you know, how do we get to that, and how do we work with that on a different level that allows us to kind of work in new ways with things. And so that's super important for all of us, you know, to honor, you know, how we get there, you know, which we don't always do, you know. So,
no.
Yeah.
No, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
also Venus
there...
and Mercury and Venus change signs this week, so they get a little lighter, which is helpful for them too. They get
next
a little
weekend.
Happier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
of course
the
full moon, which makes everybody crazy.
Right. And they tell, you know, this is a full moon in Pisces when it's all feeling. And so don't be surprised if feelings, you know, if you cry, you laugh, you know, you wonder if you can stand it all. You may feel like giving up on something, just feeling overwhelmed with all that lineup in Pisces. But it's going to move quickly. Just like feel it flow through you like a wash, like a small wave of strong emotion. And that rather than follow the story, just feel it like a wave going through your house. And this summer you mentioned something about, Anne, about family secrets coming out.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was about?
The Saturn-Pluto conjunction
in
Capricorn.
So true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of stuff
so true.
That, you
Saturn,
know, we,
Peter, yep.
Yeah, because what it wants us to do is to look at, go in and delve in and understand them. And, of course, it's a family aspect. You know, Saturn
right.
is the father of Pluto and Jupiter, right? So, you know, and it's got a authority thing to it, too. Like, well, who is the authority, and are they a good authority or a bad authority, and why? You know, and mm-hmm. so structurally looking at it. So I've had a lot of people. I've had a lot of people going in, you know, with family trauma, going back in and clearing out family trauma, going back in mm-hmm. and really looking to release whatever that structural dynamic was that created them, and looking at it and understanding it from, well, that was necessary and that created you, and now you're a cooked carrot. You don't have to stay in the stew of your childhood anymore. You can go, you know, get in a salad, or you can get rinsed off and put in a little ginger sauce, or you can just eat, be eaten, you know. Like, you don't have to do the old structure, but you do have to understand why it created you the way you did, and then what you want to do with it. And I always think of Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter certainly as the drama of the father eating the children. And so there's an opportunity here to transform that story and understand it. And one of my favorite, and you know, things when I've got somebody and I'm talking to them about this is I tell them, you know, that song, A Boy Named Sue. And most people know it. It's mm-hmm. a country western song. And I said, well, you know, the father wrote his version of A Boy Named Sue. So, mm-hmm. you know, he wrote the reason why I named him Sue. And everybody goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, go listen to why he named him Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boy named Sue,
I wasn't going to be there to teach you to be strong, and I knew if I named you Sue, you're going to have to defend yourself against everything, and you'd be tough and strong.
Yeah, but when you hear the song, you kind of go, okay, because the guy who wrote that was, you know, the guy who wrote The Giving Tree. And, was, you know, he's kind of a children's writer, you know, he wrote, but it was very tongue-in-cheek, but it also is, like, why he named him Sue, I knew what that was. So it's a really interesting, you know, we get the story we get because it's designed to make us who we are, and then we become who we are, and then we have to at some point look at it and go, well, that made me who I am, do I want to continue to carry forward the legacy that doesn't work for me anymore, or do I want to let that go? And that's really the big choice point this year. You know, do I carry it forward or do I let it go? And what does that look like if I let it go? And what does it look like if I carry it forward, obviously I get more of the same. If I let it go and I mm-hmm. agree to change. And we do know that whenever pandemics or wars happen, there's huge changes in the culture. There's a renaissance afterwards. So this is our opportunity for a renaissance in our life on multiple levels in whatever house the COVID clump is taking place, the Capricorn house. And whatever houses are ruled by Saturn and Aquarius.
Shall we take a phone call?
We'll take a phone call. You see one you want to take?
Go ahead. No, I'll let you run the board. I just knew
okay.
that it was we time.
All right. Hi, 202, 281. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hey, everyone. March 5th, 1980, 1:29 a.m.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
1980.
March
1:29 a.m.?
Yep, March 5th, 1980, 1:29 a.m. in Philly.
And where? Philly?
Philadelphia, PA.
Mm-hmm.
My hometown.
And what's your question?
I actually have a Gemini gent I would like for you guys to check out real quick.
mm-hmm.
Did you meet him on June 3rd? Okay.
It's June 4th.
Okay. Yeah. He's coming in on your he's coming in on your descendant, and he had a Sun Venus conjunction, so he's interested in you. Yes, I don't even have to look at the chart without saying go. There was a Sun Venus conjunction on June 2nd. He's born on June 3rd. There was an eclipse on your descendant at 15 Gemini. So whoever he is important. Say yes, go have fun. And I know you're a little paranoid about it because of the square to your Sun Mercury, but don't be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What year was he born?
He was born in 76.
Mm-hmm.
1976, yep.
Uh-huh, at 5:35 p.m. in Cincinnati, Ohio.
5:35 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
P.m., okay.
And how are his relations with his own family this year?
He had a very hard relationship with his father. His father passed away, I think, about 10 years ago. And his mother lives in Ohio. She's older, but they're not very close either. Both parents were Capricorns.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Because one of the his moon took a quincunx from that Saturn-Pluto conjunction in January. And I think he's been clearing out a lot of his own family stuff, including worry about his mom or feeling like what is his relationship with his family, because his moon and Saturn bracket his Mars natally at the top of his chart. So his relationship with his parents was sort of sat on him, and it's made him a little leery of forming long-term relationships. Because with that, with his Taurus, when he settles into a relationship, he means it. And he may be drawn to you, but drawn to you and being able to commit in a relationship are two different things. His progressed moon is in Aries, and it's going to take another year and a half before it's in Taurus. So I would say if you can date him and enjoy it and enjoy the sparks and enjoy the flame, but not, but help him slowly detox from his family stuff. And, you know, if you can make it through the next year and a half together and enjoy that connection, he will then begin to be ready to settle down. Like he will have detoxed some of his fear that if he settles into a long-term relationship, he will be stuck like he was under his parents. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does.
Yeah, he'll tend to be rather all or none about relationship. He's like totally into it, completely obsessed by it, or else he feels toxic to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll experience both.
Right. Oy vey.
But it sounds like fun. Sounds good.
It's fun, you know, but I
think Uranus is right on his Mars, is squaring his Mars. So, you know, I assumed that he wasn't looking for commitment. Right now he's very focused on work. His work has been kind of just like shattered.
Absolutely.
Because he's in the music, kind of all of that. So literally just flipped upside down.
Yeah,
the
whole world
money.
Went crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also has the Uranus. Uranus and Saturn are going to be squaring each other next year. The one that he natally has a Uranus Saturn square. So that will help his chart calm down a little too. So.
Oh well, okay. Yeah. He likes me, but you know, like you're saying, it doesn't feel like he'll be able to settle. And you know how I am. I'm like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, here we go.
You're looking for the dream.
You know.
You're looking for the dream.
And I'm going to call you a little on that. That you also have a little bit of fear of, you know, you've got Venus in Aries with Venus right now squaring your Venus in Aries and Mars going back and forth over it. You would like to want to settle down, but you have that Moon-Pluto conjunction in Libra. You're still drawn to people who will help you escape, that will help you, like, you know, so you're going to choose people that will not leave you feeling trapped.
Yeah.
You, it's so much more fun for you to go, oh, could you please settle down, than it is for you to say, could you get out of here? You've been hanging around too much.
Yes, that's so true.
And
it was weird.
Some
like,
of that, and know that you're right for each other for now.
Yep.
Okay. Are we compatible? Or am I just projecting onto him? We are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots of wonderful things.
Okay.
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 Good luck. Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Got a little feedback there. Okay. So anyway, we're done.
Anyway, we're
wish
done.
You all a good week. Ann Ortley signing off from the bright red desk.
Heather Rowan Robbins from Montana.
And Mark Wolves, New York City.
Enjoy.
And we'll see you all next week.
Take care.
Have a good fun time with the Hammer of Thor.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.